and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Lord, we are so thankful for the confidence that we can have that you are greater, that you are stronger, that you are love, that you are power, that you hold this world in your hands. And Lord, it's with that confidence that we come before you today and just ask that you would speak into our hearts from your word. I pray that you'll speak encouragement and life and breathe into us and to the situations that we are walking through right now. We praise you, God. We know that you're present. We know that you're here wherever we are at as we gather together as the body of Christ in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful we have this opportunity to get together today, and it's a little bit different than what we're used to on a Sunday morning, but still we have the opportunity to connect online and to be able to praise our God together and be able to hear from the Word together, even though we might be sitting in different chairs, different places throughout our communities. We are walking through a very unique time, and I know as I've had a number of conversations over the last few days with different people, I've heard a number of different words being used to describe what we're walking through. I've heard people say, it's crazy, this is unbelievable. I've heard people say, this is unprecedented, I've never seen anything like it. I've heard people say, it's scary, it's weird. I've heard people say, I can't believe we're not going to have March Madness. Like, there are so many different things that I'm hearing from people as we walk through this time. And a time like this can be unsettling because we didn't see it coming. And there are a lot of needs around our world and a lot of issues around our world, and we're aware of a number of them as we watch the news, as we hear reports, and we hear of starvation, and we hear of long lines, and we hear of bombings and sicknesses and different situations that seem so terrible. And although we hear it, rarely do those things affect our daily lives because doesn't it seem like it's almost always over there, wherever there is, and then there's something that happens here that we didn't see coming. All of a sudden, there's something that is out of the ordinary. So what do we do? What do we do when we face a situation, when something surfaces or arises that we didn't see coming? Well, thankfully, we are given a number of examples in our Bible of people who walk through situations that they didn't see coming. They didn't script it like that. It just happened, whether they wanted it to happen or not. And today we're going to look at one of those examples. It's found in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. So wherever you're at right now in the different communities, if you have your Bible close by or run into the other room and get it really quick, 2 Chronicles chapter 32 is where we're going to be camping out for the next few minutes together. I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. And we're going to see that there were other people besides us that faced unforeseen, challenging times. We want to see how they rolled with that, how they dealt with that, what they did. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1, it begins like this. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done. Now, I know that this verse continues, this passage continues, but I want to stop there just for a moment, just to pause to give a little context. Now, you have to understand something. Around 700 BC, Hezekiah became the new king of Judah, and he was someone who was fully devoted to God, which made him very, very different from the other kings of that era, and actually even different than kings that had preceded him in the land of Israel and the land of Judah. Now, when we read other places in the Old Testament, like in 2 Kings and previously in 2 Chronicles, we get a greater picture for what this means. Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord. Here are some of the things the scripture says. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed idol worship. He trusted in the Lord. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. What a statement. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. He sought his God. He worked wholeheartedly. And the scripture says that the Lord was with him. Hezekiah was serious about serving God, which makes what happens next in this passage come off the pages. Look at this. Verse 1. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. Now, wait a minute. Hezekiah had done all of that for God. Hezekiah had served God faithfully. This is not what we want to read, that Hezekiah served God faithfully and then he got straight up attacked by the king of Assyria. We don't like to read that part of the text. It almost is something that we would rather rewrite and say something like, after Hezekiah had so faithfully done all these things for the Lord, comma, life was perfect. There were no problems. It was sunny and 78.6 degrees every single day. There was an endless supply of food and toilet paper and hand sanitizer. That's what we wanted to say. But the text says, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He served God, yet still something happened that he didn't see coming. And there are times in life when things surface, when things come up that we didn't sign up for. There are times in life on this earth when there are things that happen that we might think we don't deserve, or we might think we're not ready for it, and yet still things come up and happen that we didn't see coming. What does the word say? It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And I know we don't like to hear this. I know we don't like to bring this up. But if we look around our world, we know it's true. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. The scriptures say in Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament that Adam sinned, and because he brought sin into the world, death came. And then death passed to all people. Why? Because all people have sinned. You see, sin ushered in by us, the human race, brought in sickness, brought in some darkness, brought in some difficulty, some challenges, some brokenness, and even death. And it's why Scripture declares very, very clearly that all of creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. And this pain has been coming right up to this present time that we live in. Romans 8 goes on to say, not only so, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, are also groaning inwardly as we eagerly await the redemption of our bodies, our time with the Lord in heaven. Life on this temporal earth includes temporal things that we face that we didn't see coming. Now, you've got to hand it, though, to Hezekiah, because when this happened, when this surprise attack took place, he went to work. Check this out. You see these in the next few verses. I'll just share a few of the things that Hezekiah did as the surprise attack was being taken place. He, after discovering it, consulted with his officials and his military staff. They gathered a large group of people who then blocked all the springs of water. Why? They wanted to cut off the enemy's water supply. Smart move. He worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall. He built towers on it. He reinforced their defenses. He also made a large number of weapons and shields, appointing military officers over the people. And Hezekiah did all he could think to do. It was good that he did all of those things. He did all he could think to do. I mean, to give you just a little picture of the situation that the Israelites in Judah there were dealing with was this. Think about going to a football game. Let's say you go to U of M and the stadium is packed with 100,000 people. And you're sitting there. Now picture that. Now picture that around this small remnant of people who are there on the field, not football players, just people. They are children, they are women, they are men, and then some of the men are trained as soldiers, but that's it. There's a remnant of people there, and then surrounding them are 100,000, not just people, but trained soldiers, armored up, ready to go, surrounding them. Now, multiply basically by two, the number of soldiers that are surrounding that remnant. And that gives you a picture. Scripture says there were 185,000 fighting soldiers that were preparing to come against Hezekiah and his people. I mean, it's not a fair fight here. He was outnumbered drastically. Hezekiah did those things. He did all he could think to do. And then he said, and this is what I want you to get. He said what he knew to be true. Look at this in verse number 7. This is Hezekiah speaking to his people, and he's saying it loud enough for everybody to hear him. This is what he said. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. This is what Hezekiah did. He encouraged the people with truth. He did all he knew to do, and then he said what he knew to be true. And that was this. There's a power that's greater than the power that is surrounding us right now. I want you to know that fear can come by hearing the words of men, but faith comes by hearing the words of God. Fear can come by hearing how dire the situation is. Faith comes by hearing how powerful God is. And as Hezekiah accurately said 2,700 years ago, there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Now, Dr. S.M. Lockridge was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. It was a well-known congregation in San Diego, California. He pastored from 1953 to 1993. And although he traveled the United States and the world preaching everywhere, he is best known for the last few minutes of one of his messages entitled, "That's My King." Now, this was a message, although he pastored in California, that he actually preached in Michigan in 1976. And what he encouraged Michiganders 40-some years ago is maybe what we need to hear, and that is this, that Jesus is sufficient, that Jesus is all-powerful, that no matter what we face, he is bigger. I want you to lean in to the last few moments of the audio of what Dr. S.M. Lockridge preached almost 5 decades ago to Michiganders. Check this out.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my King? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah!
Wow. Hearing the truth about God builds our faith in God. And that is exactly what took place 2,700 years ago when Hezekiah stood up among his people, knowing that they were outnumbered by so many, but yet he spoke what he knew to be true about God. Look what happened then. In verse 8 it says, "And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said." Did the people gain confidence from their new defenses, from the reinforcements, from that brand new sword that they had been given? Yes. No. No. The people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king, said. What did he say? He said the truth about God. These words here are translated in other places as being encouraged. The people were encouraged. It literally means that they were able to lean upon these words. They were able to be refreshed by these words. Why? Because he was speaking the truth about God. The truth about God is something that you can rest in. The truth about God is something that you can take confidence in and be encouraged by. And that's what happened so many years ago. They heard the truth about God and they were encouraged in God. And Hezekiah was a big part of this and how he shared the truth about God, and it encouraged the people. They gained confidence, but I believe that also Hezekiah encouraged himself by speaking the truth about God. Have you ever said something about the Lord to someone else? You're like, whoa, I need to hear that. You ever shared a scripture with somebody else? Like, oh, yeah, I need to hear that. It encourages you. It builds you up. He encouraged people with truth. And there's something else that he did. It's very clear in this passage, and that is that he then cried out to God. He did all that he could do, and he said what he knew to be true, and then he just cried out to God. Verse 20 says this, "And King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. Now, that's all that we get here in this passage. He cried out in prayer. What did he pray? What did he pray? Well, actually, in 2 Kings chapter 19, we actually read what his prayer was. He had gone into the temple. He had received this letter from the enemy accusing him and threatening him, and he laid out the letter before the Lord. And then he began to pray. This is what he said. Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. This was just an honest, simple, heartfelt prayer that Hezekiah brought before the Lord. It was basically this: God, you see what's going on. It's not good. We didn't see it coming. You did. Please help us. It was as simple as that in crying out to the Lord. But his prayer went on. Look at the next thing that he prayed. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. I want you to notice something about this prayer that Hezekiah prayed, that he was not just praying for his protection, he was praying for God's glory, that all people would know you, God, by what you do in our situation that we're facing right now. See, praying for safety and praying for protection is a prayer we probably have all prayed a gazillion times. Lord, help my kid not to fall off his bike the first time that he rides it. Lord, help my kid when he leaves the house to not get hurt as he's driving and be safe on the roads. Lord, help our family members. Lord, help us to be safe. Help us to be healthy. Help us to be free of trouble. God, would you please protect us when we're doing this, when we're doing that? We've all prayed it a gazillion times, and I personally think it is a fine, appropriate prayer to pray. That's a good prayer. It's a fine prayer. God, protect us. But we have to be really, really careful that we don't make prayer for protection our number one priority. We have to make sure that we don't keep this prayer of, God, help me be healthy, help me be safe, help me be comfortable. We have to make sure that that is not our number one priority prayer during our brief time on this earth. We can pray for those things, but listen again to Hezekiah's prayer. Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. It was all about God receiving glory. It was about the name of the Lord being famous in the earth, about other nations, other people putting their trust in God because of how, God, you have helped us and how you have touched us. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for safety. All those things are good prayers. But let's make our number one priority, the number one priority that Hezekiah had 2,700 years ago. God, may you receive glory, that all nations would know that you are God and that you are on the throne. Well, I love this. God responded to his prayer. God responded to his prayer. Did God come down and take out the 185,000 troops? Well, that's too small for God to do. So, you know what he did? He just sent an angel. Go take care of it. He sends an angel. We read about this in verse 21. And the angel, one angel, annihilated all the fighting men and the commanders and officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. Done. Goes on, verse 22. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. He took care of them on every side. Don't you love that? He took care of them on every side. That's what God does. I believe this passage in Scripture from 2 Chronicles 32 is a timely word for us, is a timely passage for us, and how we can respond as people when we face something that we didn't see coming. First of all, encourage yourself daily with the truth. Encourage yourself daily, consistently, with the truth about God. I challenge you this week to read your Bible more than you watch the news. I challenge you. Pastor Keith, come on. That's crazy. No, I challenge you this week to read your Bible more than you watch the news. Stay informed. That's good. But stay grounded in the Word of God and the truth about who God is. I would also encourage you to try using soap. And you've probably heard that a gazillion times in the last few weeks. And I'm kind of hoping that you've heard that your whole life. I don't know. This soap thing is not new, all right? It brings out some pretty good results in our life, physically speaking. But I'm talking about a spiritual soap, okay? And the next time that you use soap, which is probably in just a little bit, remember the spiritual soap. And what I'm talking about is a way of journaling the time that you're having with the Lord in the Word that has really helped me to learn more and grow more and be focused in more on what God wants to be speaking to me every single day that I do this. Here's what it is. It's soap. It's scripture, observation, application, prayer. Let me just go through this really quick. Very practical way to get into the Word and to get something out of the Word so that the Word then gets in you and you can live it out. Otherwise, what's the point, right? God's Word is meant to be experienced. It's the holy, inspired words of God. God breathed that He wants to breathe into our lives. And we get that by opening up the Word of God. See, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but faith comes as well by reading the Word of God. So Scripture. What we can do is open up your Bible and pick a passage that you're going to choose to go into. Many of you are already reading in different places in the Word of God. Maybe this week you're just getting into it. Maybe you want to go to 2 Chronicles. I've preached out of this today. Or maybe you want to go in the New Testament to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and start in the Gospels. But take a passage of Scripture, whether it's a verse or it's a section or it's a chapter, read that, ask the Lord to give you insight into what He wants to speak to you, and then after going through the passage, pick out one Scripture or one phrase that really seems to jump out, that really seems to catch your attention. And what you can do in a journal is write out S and then write out that Scripture or write out that phrase with that reference. O is observation. That's when you begin asking yourself, well, what's happening here? Who's speaking? What is the context? What's going on? What is God trying to get across to the people in that day? What does this mean? And then you can, as I do, just write out a few sentences there of what's happening. You're observing what's happening in this passage that you're reading. Application, oh, this is where it gets fun, to where you can then say, okay, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Okay, I've read this scripture. I'm observing what's happening here. I'm getting an idea of what was going on in that setting and what you're trying to get across to the people. Now, God, what are you trying to get across to me? What are some things that you're challenging me with? What's an insight? What's a principle? What's a promise that I need to engage with as I go into the rest of this day and into tomorrow? So application is just right now, maybe it's a few sentences, maybe it's a page, maybe it's one sentence of just, this is something that I can apply to my life. The Word of God is not meant just to be heard, but to be lived. And so it's so important for us to take time for God to help us apply this. You can write that down, the application part, and then P, for prayer. We pray, right? We talk to the Lord, and I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. And there are times as I'm journaling, I get to pee, and I'm just writing out a prayer. God, help me to live this out. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. God, help me to claim this promise of yours, da-da-da-da-da-da, as I go through this day. Or help me to impact someone else with this truth. Lord, I want to be led by you. Holy Spirit, would you help me? And so I'm writing out a little prayer there that is really what I'm then launching out of for a prayer time. S-O-A-P, use some soap. Use some soap as you grow in the Lord. We want to stay informed as we go through these next few days and weeks in our world, but we want to stay grounded in the Word of God. I tell you, this is an opportunity, as some things have been canceled with school and all these different things, for families to connect in the Word of God in times of worship, for couples, for individuals, whether they're connecting together or online together, of connecting with the Word of God and just growing in Him. So encourage yourself daily with the truth. Secondly, encourage others with the truth. You saw the impact of what happened when Hezekiah did that. People are like, what? Completely outnumbered. Okay. God is stronger. God is bigger. God is better. Like, we can depend on Him. And so encourage others with the truth. We are in a time right now where the people who are around us need hope. There are family members There are friends, there are co-workers who need to know about the strength and the hope that is found in the Lord, that they can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might through relationship with him. And this is an opportunity for us to share hope. I know even these last few days, I've heard and seen a number of you who are encouraging others with conversation, doing things for others just to show the love of God, posting things on social media, scripture and encouraging videos and different things that are helping people to see that there is a God who is on the throne. This is an opportunity for us to share hope with people, encourage others with the truth about God. And then finally, what can we do when we face something we didn't see coming? Well, let's just do what Hezekiah did. Cry out to God. Cry out to God intensely, passionately, honestly, and simply. God, you see what's going on? You know the past from the future, from the present. You know everything. God, would you help us? Here are some specific prayers you could be praying. You could be praying that we walk by faith and not by fear. The Apostle Paul wrote this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray we will walk by faith and not in fear. Secondly, pray for the people who have been greatly impacted, not just in our community, but all over the world. We know that God has the power to heal every sickness and disease. We're praying that God would move. Pray for healing. Pray for God to cover people all over our nation and our world. Pray for scientists and researchers and all of our medical teams that are working so hard to treat and to find vaccines and to do what they need to do to help. We believe that God can give wisdom and insight. Let's pray for that, that God will use them in powerful ways. And then finally, pray that this world finds hope. I just referenced this. This world needs hope, and there is hope in the Lord that we are not ashamed of. We're not ashamed to talk about it. Pray that this world will find the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, that we will take the opportunity as people of God to share the truth about God with those that are around us. There might be some that are watching this video and connecting with this video today that you have not yet stepped into relationship with God. And in this message, you've been hearing about the power of God, and you've been hearing about the love and the compassion of God to care about a people group. I'm telling you, God cares about you, and he loves you. And if you have not yet stepped into relationship with him, I want you to know that you can even right now. The word says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord be saved. So I encourage you, admit that you have sinned. Believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Now today, before we finish with one more worship song, I'm going to ask that you all, wherever you're at, connecting with this time that we're having together in the Word, that you would join us and join me in praying together the way the Lord taught us to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, you can join me now. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.